From the American College of Cardiology, this is Dr. Kim Eagle, ACC.org Editor-in-Chief, with this week's Eagle's Eye View. This is your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. This week, I've chosen to focus on the just-released 2018 ESC guidelines for the diagnosis and management of syncope, as well as a companion document called Practical Instructions for the 2018 ESC guidelines. These were both published this past week in the European Heart Journal. Syncope is such a common problem, and cardiologists face this all the time. And I think these guidelines are very helpful and practical in thinking about this condition. So let's dive in. Obviously, the audience is familiar with the notion that syncope is defined as a transient loss of consciousness due to cerebral hypoperfusion, and typically is characterized by rapid onset, short duration, and spontaneous complete recovery. At the time of the initial evaluation, clinicians need to consider, of course, a number of key questions. One of them was, did the patient in fact lose consciousness? Were they truly syncopal or presyncopal? And in the case of suspected syncope, was there an obvious etiologic diagnosis at the time of the event? Also, is there evidence to suggest the patient could have a high-risk cardiovascular event, or is at risk for cardiovascular death? Is there a serious underlying condition that might have been identified? And if the cause is uncertain, what is the risk of a serious outcome if the event happened again? And of course, if this is happening in an office or an emergency department, should the patient be admitted to the hospital? Typically, of course, patients should undergo a very complete history physical exam, and that should include a standing blood pressure measurement and a standard electrocardiogram. In a patient who's sitting in an ER, you want to get the patient on ECG monitoring as soon as possible, because sometimes the arrhythmia that caused the event will redeclare itself in a matter of minutes. And this is particularly true of high-risk patients or a patient where there is a suspicion of arrhythmic cause. For most patients, an echocardiogram should be performed, particularly if there's previous known heart disease or any evidence to suggest structural heart disease. That might be a murmur or a Q wave on the ECG or some other factor that leads one to suspect significant heart muscle or valvular heart disease. Carotid sinus massage may be performed in patients over the age of 40 who have syncope of unknown origin that's compatible with the reflex mechanism. Also consider a tilt table testing in patients where there's thoughts of either reflex syncope or orthostatic hypotension. In general, prolonged electrocardiographic monitoring, either with external devices or an implantable loop, should be performed in patients who have recurrent, severe, unexplained syncope, who have all three of these features. First, clinical or ECG features that would suggest an arrhythmic syncope. Second, a high probability of recurrence of syncope in a reasonable amount of time. And third, patients who would benefit if a specific therapy was found for the cause of syncope. Obviously, this gets at the question, if the patient has end-stage cancer and a very limited lifespan, then the question might be moot what the cause of syncope was. Electrophysiologic study can be helpful and is useful in patients with unexplained syncope and bivesicular block, where you're really worried about high-degree AV block, or patients with suspected tachycardia, particularly ventricular tachycardia. Or the other testing to consider is exercise stress testing in patients who experience syncope either during or shortly after exercise. There are two types of syncope that deserve discussion next. One is reflex syncope, which we used to call neurocardiogenic or vasodepressor, and the other is orthostatic hypotension. Both of these typically more benign types of syncope require the caregiver to explain to the patient and family the mechanism and common things that they can do that would have a likelihood of reducing recurrence. In patients who have reflex syncope, there are several specific treatments that may be helpful. Those would include midodrine, which can raise the blood pressure, or fludrocortisone in younger patients who have a lowish blood pressure, Of course, the steroid will expand the volume and reduce blood pressure. Sometimes counter pressure maneuvers can be useful in young patients with prodromes, like tilt table training. Certainly, an implantable loop recorder can help guide management in selected patients who have very short prodromes before their syncopal episode. In patients where you think that the trigger for the syncope may be in part related to blood pressure lowering medications, one consideration is to allow their systolic blood pressure to be a little higher, say 140 systolic in older hypertensive patients, if one is thinking that the antihypertensive may be playing a role in either orthostatic or reflex syncope. There are some studies suggesting that pacemaker implantation in older patients whose reflex syncope, the dominant form, is cardioinhibitory, and that is they tend to get a marked heart rate response, dropping their heart rate. In those individuals, pacemaker therapy may reduce the frequency of syncope, not eliminate it entirely, but reduce it. The other type are patients who have orthostatic hypotension, and certainly these individuals need to be educated about lifestyle maneuvers and staying hydrated, potentially extra salt in their food. They must discontinuation or reduce hypotensive therapies. They may benefit from abdominal binders or support stockings. Sometimes head-up sleeping, raising the head of their bed, will reduce particularly their morning orthostasis. And again, in these individuals, sometimes midodrine or fludrocortisone may be helpful. Obviously, the whole diagnostic approach should be reevaluated and alternative therapies considered if the patient is not doing well with what one thought was the original cause and appropriate treatment. The companion article to the guidelines was entitled Practical Instructions to go along with the 2018 ESC guidelines for the diagnosis and management of syncope. And there were just a couple of things that I thought were useful here. First, as you think about carotid sinus massage, you want to do this carefully. You want to auscultate for Bruise before you do it. You want to perform this during continuous ECG and blood pressure monitoring. You want to have an IV, typically, in case there's a very unusual cardioinhibitory response. And we diagnose carotid sinus hypersensitivity if the reflex causes asystole for more than 3 seconds and or a vasodepression with a fall in systolic blood pressure of greater than or equal to 50 millimeters. Now let's move to tilt table testing. This type of test can be helpful, particularly in separating reflex from orthostatic hypotension as a cause. Typically, the patient should be fasted for 2 to 4 hours. They should be supine in a pre-tilt phase for at least 5 minutes when there's no blood draw or anything else. Then the tilt angle is often 60 to 70 degrees. Typically, passive tilting is for 20 minutes duration minimum and a maximum of 45. If no response is elicited, one may choose to try to do provocative testing. That can be with sublingual nitroglycerin or intravenous isoproterenol. Typically, the drug challenge is no more than 15 to 20 minutes. And, of course, we're looking for either completion of the protocol or an episode with complete loss of consciousness. Clearly, if the patient has a response, then we need to tilt the patient down quickly in order to avoid long periods of asystole. Autonomic function testing probably should be performed in centers of excellence that do this all the time, and this is increasingly rare, so we need to find center of excellence to do that type of testing. A word about classical orthostatic hypotension. We're going to define that as a decrease in systolic blood pressure of more than 20 millimeters or diastolic blood pressure of more than 10 or a sustained decrease in systolic pressure to less than 90 within 3 minutes of active standing, or a head-up tilt table test at 60 degrees. A note about POTS, postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. This is an unusual form of orthostatic hypotension, mostly in young women. They often have severe orthostatic intolerance with lightheadedness, palpitations, tremor, blurred vision, fatigue, and a marked orthostatic heart rate response, usually up more than 30 beats per minute to a heart rate greater than 120 beats per minute with 10 minutes of standing. And this is a unique group of patients that requires very aggressive treatment aimed at volume expansion and trying to avoid hypotensive agents. So I think the 2018 ESC guidelines for the diagnosis and management of syncope, very well written, very practical. Syncope is common in our practice. So I thought this week it would be useful to hit the key points of that document. I want to thank you for listening to Eagle's Eye View. This is your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. The articles that I've discussed are available to you on ACC.org, as are the key points to remember. And you can find us online or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great week.